15 out. Five, four, three, two, one.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Heard right here on this station. Tom Moore and company will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to join us and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Call 855-722-4253. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what the men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, my partners and good friend on this program, Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and also Foy Forehand, who works with me at the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. And we would like for you to remember that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. In our current series, we have been discussing the benefits of being a Christian. In previous lessons, we have noted that one of the benefits of being a Christian is that we enjoy a new gift, that is, the forgiveness of our sins. We've also noted in previous lessons another benefit of being a Christian, and that is we enjoy a new strength, that is, the Christian's hope. And tonight we're going to discuss another benefit of being a Christian, and that is that we enjoy a new fellowship, that is communion with God and His people. But before we get into that tonight, we'd like to, Foy, to give us from whence we're airing tonight.
Thank you, Tom. And it is for me a great joy to be back with you and Frank. I missed you last week. But we had a great gospel meeting in Terlingua, Texas. Tonight we're broadcasting from KMOE 95.3 out of Glen Rose, KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, and KWBY 98.5 FM from here in Stephenville. We're also on AM stations KDAV 1590 out of Lubbock and KVOP 1090 out of Plainview. This program also goes out over the Gospel Radio Network, and you may listen to it at thegospelradionetwork.org. And this very program will be rebroadcast tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, at 6 a.m. on the GospelRadioNetwork.org website. Our motto, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible says. And remember, this is a live call-in program. And we also have an email address if you would like to email us a question, although we will not be able to get to that question this evening, but we would appreciate, we do appreciate any questions and comments, and that you can email us at questions@harrisandmoore.org. And there's also a chat room, www.harrisandmoore.org. thegospelradionetwork.org. Tom? Frank?
Thank you, Foy. Tom mentioned a moment ago that the past few weeks we have been looking at the particular benefits of being a Christian, that which is ours, the reason why one should desire to be a Christian, what it is that God has made available to us. As we mentioned, we looked at the forgiveness of sins. We also looked at the Christian's hope. And tonight we're going to be looking at a new fellowship, a communion with God and His people. I'd like to begin by reading a passage from the book of Titus. Paul writes to Titus in chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. He said, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no man despise you." Paul, in writing to Timothy, is speaking there concerning the subject that we want to discuss this evening. And that is the fact that man had and enjoyed such a tremendous fellowship and a personal blessing of being in the very communion with God until, as a result of sin, that was lost. You know, man is a personal being, and he thrives on the enjoyment of relationship with persons who correspond to him. He is a personal being because he was created in the very image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all of the fish of the sea, and over the birds in the heavens, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And in the 18th verse of the next chapter, chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, "And Jehovah God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And so God created Adam, created a helpmeet for him. In the paradise that is called Eden, they enjoyed a complete and full communion and fellowship with God. And then it was sin entered. That is that which alienated man from his Creator and produced enmity among men. And it soon bore a terrible fruit: frustration, violence, fear, despair, and anguish. Until by the time we come to Noah's day, the world was in a terrible situation. And Tom, what do we see at the time of Noah?
Well, you look in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, beginning in verse 11, we get a view as the way the earth had become during Noah's day. It said, "And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." You know, the earth had become so violent, so sinful. And in doing that, they had been getting away from God. And is it not true that that's where all evil comes, is when man begins to stray away from God?
Well, that's exactly true. It's amazing to me how easy it is to slip. The Hebrew writer pointed out this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, where he says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which were heard, lest haply," that is, just not paying attention, "by happenstance, we let them slip," or we drift away from them. It's so easy, if you don't hold tight to your moorings, to just drift off downstream and perhaps go crashing over a waterfall somewhere. But be that as it may, the Apostle Paul writes about this very thing in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, where he says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who, being past feeling, gave themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." So, yes, it is possible to slip away from and to become alienated from the Creator. But I think it's important that we remember that even as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were pure and sinless before sin came, so every baby born is pure and sinless before that child reaches a age to be able to determine right and wrong and decides for himself, herself, to sin. And then, and only then, become alienated from God.
Well, and it was, as we've said, it was sin that separated man from God and caused man to lose the fellowship and the communion that he had with God. But it is the gospel of Christ that addresses this problem, the problem of sin, that which breaks up the relationship with God. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Rome that it is the gospel is the power of God to save. That this is his way of expressing to us that here is that which has been done in order that we might be redeemed or that we might be reconciled, that we might come back into that fellowship that sin had disrupted and that had caused us to lose the communion that we had with God.
Exactly. And so tonight we need to contemplate the importance and joy of the various aspects of the fellowship and the communion which are possible through Jesus Christ, and might we also note, through him alone. We're going to talk about fellowship with God. But before we get further into that, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. The new fellowship.
Well, our fellowship with God, when we enjoy the fellowship with God, we have peace with God. Several different times the idea and the attitude of peace is expressed to us as being a peace that passes understanding. Peace is the word that is the opposite of enmity or war. Sin is that which separated between man and God, caused the enmity between man and God, and now then it is the gift that God made for us in his only begotten Son that we can once again have and enjoy fellowship with God and the peace that is ours through Christ.
And isn't it also true that sin brings about not only a distorted relationship or even a broken relationship, a separation from God, but it also separates people.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people holding animosity and hatred in their heart against anyone, you know sin is at the center, at the core of that problem.
And you know, we look in our world today. We have people who, because of sin, are at odds one with another. We have people who, in the political realm, who are really separated one from another, and really it all revolves around sin.
Not only does it revolve around sin, it is absolutely produced by sin.
Exactly.
You look even at among those who are engaged in certain nefarious activities, immoral, ungodly activities, who are trying to justify themselves, they don't have a continuing, ongoing relationship with anyone. But beside that, they are so angry at anyone who would stand up for the truth. They have such hatred and animosity, and it is a sad, sad thing. But remember, sin is transgression of God's law.
Mm-hmm.
And so when man steps out of bounds, wherever else he goes out of bounds, he's still out of bounds. And we need to get folks to come back within the boundary of God's eternal word.
Exactly right. And so when we enjoy fellowship with God, we have peace with God. You know, it's been said that sin is a refusal to accept God's love. Man's sin prevents God from extending himself to man in the relationship he originally intended. This is seen in the Garden of Eden and in Noah's day that we've already discussed. And Frank, Isaiah states that very fact, doesn't he?
Well, you know, in the 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and to give just a little bit of background for what Isaiah is about to write, that God tells him to tell the people, we're at a period of time when the children of Israel are suffering. They are being invaded by the enemies around them, and they have called upon God, and yet their enemies is being successful and is overrunning them, and they want to more or less blame God. And in the 59th chapter, as they have come to Isaiah basically with the question, where's God? Can he hear us or can he not hear us? Well, the problem, behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue muttereth wickedness. And so
wow.
God did not hear and respond to them because it was sin that had separated them from God.
Exactly right.
Well, when you also look at the New Testament in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Apostle Paul is inspired to write, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifested in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things which are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. So, even from the Garden of Eden, and even from Noah's day, even to this day, sin still separates man from God and destroys man's peace.
Exactly. You know, and in sin, man declares himself to be the enemy of God, and as a result, fear displaces love. For example, in the Garden of Eden that we've already mentioned, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, it says, and they, that is Adam and Eve, heard the voice of Jehovah walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God amongst the trees of the garden. And Jehovah called unto the man and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You see, Adam and Eve, because of their sin, tried to hide themselves from God. They were afraid of God. They had made themselves an enemy of God because of their sin. And my friends, any time we are involving ourselves in sin, we avoid ourselves of the benefits of the love of God, and therefore we become His enemy. And as His enemy, we have severed the relationship with God, and we have lost that wonderful fellowship that we enjoy. And that's just how horrible sin is.
Well, you know, Paul, when he wrote to the church in Rome, he is addressing this and addressing the problem and the terribleness of being separated from God. He said, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is, those who are living after the things of this world cannot please God. And so as a result of sin, they have separated themselves and become the enemies of God. And it is simply a situation where nothing but evil, nothing but bad can come as a result of it.
You notice in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, the one we call the apostle of love, John, is inspired to write, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," and now we look at sin, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride or vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Lord abideth forever." The half-brother of Jesus, James, was inspired to write in James chapter 4 and verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity," hatred, "with God?" So it is that serious, it is that important that we think about what sin is doing to each one of us individually, what sin does to relationships. When sin comes into a family, husbands and wives are divided, trust is broken. When friendships have the same kind of a problem, if you decide, or if you realize your friend has gone behind your back and done something wrong against you, and that trust and that friendship is broken, it's almost impossible to repair it and get it back. So this is a real serious business, especially with regard to our relationship with God. We're the ones who break it. God doesn't break it. We break it by sin. And then we have the other side of that, as the Apostle John wrote, "There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear." But he also wrote, John chapter 14, verse 15, that if you love me, you keep my commandments. So when we are obedient to the Lord, that overcomes the animosity and the hatred and the division and brings us back into fellowship with God through His powerful word, as Frank pointed out a while ago, the gospel is.
We've been pointing out the obvious results of sin, that it cost man the paradise of Eden, that it was that which brought about the destruction of the world at the time of Noah, that it is that which has caused all of the heartaches and problems and sorrow and death of man since the time that sin entered. Now then, what we want to look at for our lesson this evening is a new fellowship, a new benefit that is ours.
Amen.
Having seen what sin has done and what sin is capable of causing, what is it now that God has done for us in order that we might return unto Him?
Well, you know, through the forgiveness of sin that Jesus provides, the alien sinner, the Christian who falls away, can be brought back to that relationship with Christ. And you notice in your Bibles, and there is a very powerful word that we're going to be using quite often through the next few minutes, and that is the word reconciliation, or to be reconciled. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God." Is that not what we want?
Mm-hmm.
"Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Now drop down to verses 10 and 11. "For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." You see, that's what the blood of Christ does for us. Sin separates us from God. We become an enemy of God because of our sin. But it is the blood of Jesus that brings us back into that relationship, reconciles us if we do our part.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in the introduction of Jesus, his ministry here upon the earth, two things that are stated. One, in Matthew chapter 1, where we're told they were instructed to call his name Emmanuel, which by interpretation, God with us.
Mm-hmm.
Man was separated from God. You read the close of what happened in the Garden of Eden, the flame of fire that was placed there so that man could not return to the tree of life. He could not return to the presence of God, so God came to us. And in the Philippian letter, Paul, writing about the coming of Jesus, said that he counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be held on to or grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a man, and became obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. That this is what God has done for us, that we might now have the reconciliation. That's the price that has been paid, that we might once again have communion with God, and that through Christ.
And not only does this apply to those who have never obeyed the gospel, but it also applies to Christians. For when a Christian sins and breaks fellowship with God, there has to again be a reconciliation. And writing to the Christians, the saints in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, the Apostle Paul is inspired to write, "But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us, the apostles, the word of reconciliation. We, the apostles, are ambassadors therefore on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God." And how did all of that come about? How was it made possible? 2 Corinthians 5:21 explains, "Him who knew no sin, Jesus, he, God the Father, made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Reconciled.
The number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about one of the benefits of being a Christian, and that is we enjoy a new fellowship, that is communion with God and his people. Man thrives for relationships with people who correspond to them. And we should thrive, or should desire, to have that relationship with God. Because fellowship with God brings peace. When we have the proper fellowship with God, we have peace with God. But as we've seen just a moment ago, sin brings enmity. Sin brings us into an enemy relationship with God. It separates us from God. But because of the forgiveness of sin that we enjoy through Jesus, we can be reconciled back to God as an alien sinner. And as Foy just mentioned, when we become a Christian and we sin, we also need to again be reconciled to God, and the blood of Jesus helps us with that. But Frank, one of another great blessings that we enjoy with fellowship with God is that we have access to God.
All right, you know, not only access, but there's an interesting word involved with that access there. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19, he said, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and living way, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water." That when we cleanse ourselves and come into the very presence of God, I like the introduction that he made to that we have boldness. That's absolute confidence and surety. We can come into the very presence of God as a result of the sacrifice that was made by our high priest. That he's made this possible so that with full confidence, boldness, we enter into the very presence and, as you said, have this access unto God.
We remember that having this access and this boldness because of the gospel message, because of the blood of Christ, because he set forth the conditions that we meet in order to have this reconciliation. When we do what God says do, tells us to do, commands us to do, to become saved, to hear the gospel, to repent of our sins, to confess faith in Christ, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, we have not earned anything. God still doesn't owe us anything. It is a matter of his gracious mercy that he provides this salvation for us. But when we get it, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18 tells us, "For through him, Jesus, then, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." Here he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles that had been also separated by the Old Testament law of Moses, but now we both have access to the Father. Now that is a blessing indeed.
Exactly right. And so when we enjoy fellowship with God, we have peace with God. When we enjoy fellowship with God, we have access to God. And when we enjoy fellowship with God, we have continued forgiveness by God. Notice in your Bibles in the book of 1 John at chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Isn't it wonderful to know that if we'll walk in the light as he is in the light, that is, we'll abide by his teachings, obey his word, that if we sin, and when we sin, when walking in the light, we have the blood of Jesus that continues to cleanse us of our sin. But we cannot enjoy that continued cleansing unless we are in fellowship with God. And we cannot be in fellowship with God unless we're walking in the light as He is in the light.
Which necessarily includes confessing sin when it comes up.
Exactly.
And there is the other requirement set forth in Acts chapter 8 that we also have to be penitent people. Mm-hmm. We can't be proud and arrogant against God and expect Him to forgive us of anything. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God in order to receive these blessings. And as Jesus Himself defined it, the passage Frank mentioned earlier, Philippians chapter 2, He humbled Himself, doing what? Becoming obedient. Obedience is humility. It's not walking around with your head bowed, muttering some kind of prayer or something. Humility is obeying the New Testament, the last will and testament of God Almighty.
Exactly right.
You know, we enjoy this fellowship when we have knowledge of God. And by that, we need to recognize, you know, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God.
Exactly right.
And this is the way that the term is used. It's an intimate relationship with God. You know, Jeremiah speaks of this back in the Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah writes, he said, "Thus saith Jehovah, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he has an understanding and knoweth me, that I am Jehovah, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, saith Jehovah." And so the knowledge that we have is not in who we are or what we are, but when we know God.
Exactly right.
Excellent point. Have you ever thought about a kind of a sidelight thought on that? And that is the very word faith or believe. There are many people who believe in God, but they don't believe God. They'll read a verse of Scripture and they'll say, "Well, yes, but I feel like, I think, I want, it seems to me." They don't believe God. Mm-hmm. They believe in God, but they don't believe Him. And you know, if you don't believe God's word, you're actually calling God a liar.
Exactly.
And isn't that what 1 John chapter 1, verse 10 said people are doing when they claim they've never sinned?
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people come up and say, "Do you know Jesus? You know, do you know God?" Well, their idea of knowing God is not really what the Bible says about knowing God.
True.
For example, you'll notice in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, it says, "Yea, verily I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteous which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed unto His death." My friends, that's how we know God. That's how we know our Savior, when we understand the power of His resurrection, when we understand the fellowship of His suffering, when we are conformed to His death, then and only then do we truly know God, and we enjoy this fellowship with God, and in doing so, we really know God.
Well, you know, during the ministry of Jesus, one came to Him, questioned Him, actually making trial of Him. But in this thought, Jesus gave us the answer of knowing God. The question was, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus answered Matthew chapter 22 when the Pharisee had asked the question. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment." It is when we put God absolutely first in all aspects of our life. Mm-hmm. That is what we mean by the term knowing God.
And the sad thing is, if you don't know God, if you don't know God, then you become subject of divine vengeance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus, when he comes with flaming fire, will render vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. It is important to know God.
So knowing God is not just knowing about God, is it? It involves study and prayer and worship and meditation. All of these cultivate a genuine love for God. What a glorious eternal fellowship awaits those who have come to know, to truly know the Lord, and who are unashamed of their acquaintance with him. But on the other hand, as Foy just mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 18, there is great tragedy that awaits those who do not know God. And when they don't know God, they aren't known of God.
Well, there's two things that he stated there that we need to kind of keep together, that he's going to take vengeance upon those who know not God and obey not the gospel. I don't think that's two different groups of people. If you don't know God, you're not going to obey the gospel. If
exactly
you don't
right.
obey the gospel, you don't know God.
Exactly.
Excellent point, Frank. Excellent point. Well, we go on from here and we notice that we need to be careful not to neglect or undervalue the personal nature of one's relationship to God. Spiritual life involves personal relationship with God. Jesus himself set the example, John chapter 17, verse 3. But the Apostle John in 2 John verse 9 clarifies that in order to have this relationship, we must remain within the confines of the doctrine of Christ. Whosoever, that covers everybody, whosoever transgresseth, goeth onward, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God.
The number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about one of the benefits of being a Christian, that is a new fellowship, having communion with God and his people. We have noted tonight that when we enjoy fellowship with God, we have peace with God. And when we enjoy fellowship with God, we have access to God. And when we enjoy fellowship with God, we have continued forgiveness by God. And we're talking presently about when we enjoy fellowship with God, we have knowledge of God. Not just merely knowing about God, but knowing God. Knowing the details of him and obeying God. We don't know God if you aren't willing to obey him. You can't have fellowship with God if you're not willing to obey him. And so we must not, as Foy just mentioned, never undervalue the personal nature of this relationship with God. It is a personal relationship, and it's going to be personal if we're willing to abide by God's will.
Have you noticed that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a group of people, several congregations, the churches of Galatia, who had been troubled by Judaizing teachers, false wolves in sheep clothing, and so he asked them several questions to try to bring back their focus to where they should be. And he says to them in verse 9 of chapter 4, "But now that ye have come to know God, or rather, to be known of God, how turn ye back again to the weak and beggarly rudiments, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage again?" That's a significant and a powerful thought.
Most definitely.
But for expand that just a little bit, what does it mean to be known of God?
Okay, very good. The word of is a very interesting preposition as it's used in the Bible in so many circumstances. But here it's talking about source. Source. To be known by the source of everything on earth. The source of creation, the source of revelation, the source of sacrifice. And for God to know us, to say, this is my child, as the Apostle John says in, what's it, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, but now are we the sons of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, to be known by the Father. That just overwhelms me.
You know, when we think about that verse you mentioned there in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, about coming to know God, or rather being known by God, I like us to back up a little bit. It says in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Galatians, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a bondservant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Does that not describe the fellowship that we're talking about tonight?
That's the beautiful, beautiful Absolutely. Picture of it.
And therefore, we know God and are known by God. I don't know about you, but I know my sons.
Mm-hmm.
I know my sons because they are my sons. We are known of God because we are his sons. And we can't be a part of the relationship as sons with God unless we're in the proper fellowship with him. And, you know, we can't become and be in fellowship with God unless we obey the gospel. You know, we've been talking about tonight fellowship with God. Let's talk a little bit about how one becomes in fellowship with God before our time runs out tonight. How do we become in fellowship with God, Frank?
You know, we used the first part of our program to show the breaking where man lost that fellowship. Sin is what lost this fellowship that man had with God. Sin is that which separates man from God. So if we're going to return back into the presence of God, we're going to have to begin with what do we do about sin?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was the thing that was voiced by those that listened to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. The apostles had stood up and had explained to them and reminded them of the life that Jesus had lived and what they had done. And when they realized this, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer that was given is the answer that Jesus had said was going to be given in Luke chapter 24, verse 24 or 42. But anyway, there in Acts chapter 2, the answer that was given, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. Mm-hmm. So that which separated man from God, which caused us to lose our fellowship with God, was sin. And here, in the blood of Christ, is that which cleanses us and washes away our sin.
And when they did that, in Acts 2 and verse 47, they were added to what? The church.
Beautiful bride.
Brought into
kingdom,
fellowship with
Christ.
God, right?
Yes.
But if we're going to keep that fellowship with God, what do we need to continue to do, Foy?
We need to continually keep on obeying the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, inspiration says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? And it's interesting that the corresponding passage that we noted earlier in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, says that God will render vengeance to them that obey not the gospel. And even as Frank pointed out earlier, knowing God and obeying the gospel are practically, no, they really are synonymous terms. You can't do one without the other. But it's interesting that in this passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, the expression obey the gospel is in what we call the present tense. In other words, it is a continuous action thing. Oh, yes, there's the initial obedience of believing, repenting of sins, confessing faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. But there is continual obedience in living a correct moral life, in worshiping according to the New Testament instructions, of behaving in family as God would have us behave, Ephesians 5, 22 through 6, 4. And so this obeying the gospel is a continual process throughout life.
But you know, one of the great passages in the Old Testament from the Psalms, now it deals with this subject of dwelling with God. Psalms number 15, David begins with the question and then he gives us God's answer. Jehovah, or Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And his answer, he that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friends, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear Jehovah. He that sweareth not to his own hurt, and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to interest. He taketh reward against, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved.
Exactly right. And you know, we might.
Wouldn't you like to know somebody like that? Well, I think I do. Look at you guys.
Well, you know, in the New Testament application of that very idea, in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not to be idle nor unfruitful, unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Have you noticed he says you're seeing only what is near? You can't see afar off. Heaven is far off. That's not where we are now. That's our goal. It's far away. But if you don't have these, as we call them, the Christian graces, you cannot comprehend. You cannot see afar off. Abraham saw the inheritance and greeted it from afar, and he never got to have it, knowing that it would be ultimately to his children. And we need to be a people who, well, you know, I have what's called presbyopia. I can see afar off. I can't see close up. I've got to have help cheaters to read something with small print. But we need to look to the future. As Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, stretching forward to the things that are before, press on toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to see far off.
Exactly right. And seeing afar off helps us, motivates us to stay in fellowship with God. And that's what we're talking about tonight. One of the benefits of being a Christian is a new fellowship, communion with God and His people. But before we draw to a conclusion tonight, let us mention our additional sponsors. We're being sponsored by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And we also receive from time to time additional funds from individuals who make this programming possible. And we want to thank everyone and every congregation that provides for us, and all the congregations that were mentioned are all faithful and true congregations to the Word of God. And we encourage you that if you're in the area of any of these congregations, that you visit them. And I know that you'll be blessed. We're about out of time, but before we do, we'd like for Frank and Foy to give us a 1.5 minute summation of something valuable for us to learn from tonight's lesson.
All right. We've been discussing the benefit that is ours of being a Christian, noting the fact that it was sin that separated man from God, and that it was sin that caused Jesus to leave the place that was his, that was heaven, and to take upon himself the form of a man and become man. And he came in order that he might extend to us the invitation to come back into a complete fellowship with God. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
In John chapter 1, and in verse 4, inspiration says, "In him," that is in Jesus, "was life, and the life was the light of men." And as we noted in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we are to walk in the light. That is to walk in Jesus, who is the light and the life. You have to be in Christ to walk in Christ, and the only way in is through the door of baptism based upon divine prerequisites.
Exactly right. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we're going to have fellowship with one another, it begins with having fellowship with God. We cannot have fellowship with God unless we're abiding by his truths. And when we do have fellowship with God, we enjoy the blessed fellowship with one another. And that's something to look forward to in heaven as well, right?
Oh, amen.
Eternal fellowship with God and with one another. It has indeed been a delight to have you in our audience this evening. We hope that the things that we have discussed have been an encouragement to you. We want to remind you that you can also ask us questions when we're not on the air by emailing us questions@harrisonmoore.org, and we'd be happy to entertain any question that you might have. And perhaps there's a topic that you would be interested in. Email us a topic, and we'll be happy to discuss it here on the programming. Thank you for listening in. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Morning by morning, new mercy.
see.